Using a machine learning algorithm, MIT researchers have identified a powerful new antibiotic compound. In laboratory tests, the drug killed many of the world's most problematic disease-causing bacteria, including some strains that are resistant to all known antibiotics. It also cleared infections in two different mouse models. The computer model, which can screen more than 100 million chemical compounds in a matter of days, is designed to pick out potential antibiotics that kill bacteria using different mechanisms than those of existing drugs. The MIT researchers wanted to develop a platform that would allow them to harness the power of artificial intelligence to usher in a new age of antibiotic drug discovery. This approach successfully revealed an amazing molecule, which is arguably one of the more powerful antibiotics that has been discovered. In their new study, the researchers also identified several other promising antibiotic candidates, which they plan to test further. They believe the model could also be used to design new drugs, based on what it has learned about chemical structures that enable drugs to kill bacteria. The machine learning model can explore, in silico, large chemical spaces that can be prohibitively expensive for traditional experimental approaches. Over the past few decades, very few new antibiotics have been developed, and most of those newly approved antibiotics are simply slightly different variants of existing drugs. That's because current methods for screening new antibiotics are often prohibitively costly, require a significant time investment, and are usually limited to a narrow spectrum of chemical diversity. Science is facing a growing crisis around antibiotic resistance, and this situation is being generated by both an increasing number of pathogens becoming resistant to existing antibiotics and an anemic pipeline in the biotech and pharmaceutical industries for new antibiotics. Members of the research team had previously developed machine learning computer models that could be trained to analyze the molecular structures of compounds and correlate them with particular traits, such as the ability to kill bacteria. The idea of using predictive computer models for in silico screening is not new, but until now, these models were not sufficiently accurate to transform drug discovery. Previously, molecules were represented as vectors representing the presence or absence of certain chemical groups. However, the new neural networks can learn those representations automatically, mapping molecules into continuous vectors which are subsequently used to predict their properties. In this case, the researchers designed their model to look for chemical features that make molecules effective at killing E. coli. To do so, they trained the model on about 2,500 molecules, including about 1,700 FDA-approved drugs and a set of 800 natural products with diverse structures and a wide range of bioactivities. Once the model was trained, the researchers tested it on the Broad Institute's Drug Repurposing Hub, a library of about 6,000 compounds. The model picked out one molecule that was predicted to have strong antibacterial activity and had a chemical structure different from any existing antibiotics. Using a different machine learning model, the researchers also showed that this molecule would likely have low toxicity to human cells. This molecule, which the researchers decided to call Halicin, after the fictional artificial intelligence system from 2001 A Space Odyssey, has been previously investigated as a possible diabetes drug. The researchers tested it against dozens of bacterial strains isolated from patients and grown in lab dishes, and found that it was able to kill many that are resistant to treatment. The drug worked against every species that they tested, with the exception of a difficult-to-treat lung pathogen. To test Halicin's effectiveness in living animals, the researchers used it to treat mice infected with A. baumannii, a bacterium that is resistant to all known antibiotics. However, the application of Halicin-containing ointment completely cleared the infection within 24 hours. Preliminary studies suggest that Halicin kills bacteria by disrupting their ability to maintain an electrochemical gradient across their cell membranes. This gradient is necessary, among other functions, to produce ATP, molecules that cells use to store energy. So if the gradient breaks down, the cells die. The researchers say this type of killing mechanism could be difficult for bacteria to develop resistance to. In this study, the researchers found that E. coli did not develop any resistance to Halicin during a 30-day treatment period. In contrast, the bacteria started to develop resistance to the antibiotic ciprofloxacin within 1 to 3 days. And after 30 days, the bacteria were about 200 times more resistant to ciprofloxacin than they were at the beginning of the experiment. The researchers plan to pursue further studies of Halicin, working with a pharmaceutical company or nonprofit organization in hopes of developing it for use in humans. After identifying Halicin, the researchers also used their model to screen more than 100 million molecules selected from the Zinc-15 database, an online collection of about 1.5 billion chemical compounds. This screen, which took only 3 days, identified 23 candidates that were structurally dissimilar from existing antibiotics and predicted to be non-toxic to human cells. The researchers plan to use their model to design new antibiotics and to optimize existing molecules. For example, they could train the model to add features that would make a particular antibiotic target only certain bacteria, preventing it from killing beneficial bacteria in a patient's digestive tract. The global gene therapy market is expected to reach $13 billion by 2024, as new treatment options target cancers and other diseases. Now, a team of scientists from Purdue University and other research institutions around the world have come together to better understand the growing number of worldwide patented innovations available for gene therapy treatment. They specifically focus on non-viral methods, which use synthetic or natural compounds or physical forces to deliver materials generally less toxic than their viral counterparts into the therapy treatments. The possibility of using non-viral vectors for gene therapy represents one of the most interesting and intriguing fields of gene therapy research. The Purdue research involves an innovative method for identifying the technical routes used by universities and companies across the world and uncovering emerging trends for different gene therapy sectors. The scientists used big data techniques, patent databases, and clinical data mining methods to identify technological trends for the gene therapy field. The intention was to help guide future developments for gene therapy, and the team's findings were presented recently in Nature Biotechnology. This work brought together investigators from across the globe in a joint effort to use new databases and methods to better understand the trends of the gene therapy field in respect to non-viral vectors. The interdisciplinary team included experts from a wide range of disciplines. Each contribution was fundamental to creating a new way to identify technological trends in this field. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed a new procedure for recycling concrete with the addition of discarded wood. They found that the correct proportion of inputs can yield a new building material with a bending strength superior to that of the original concrete. This research may help drastically reduce construction costs as well as slash carbon emissions. Concrete has long been the material of choice for construction in our modern world. It's used in structures such as skyscrapers, bridges, and houses, to name just a few. However, as countries work to constrain their greenhouse emissions, concrete production has fallen under increased scrutiny. Concrete consists of two parts: aggregate, which is usually made of gravel and crushed stone, and cement. It's the production of cement that is blamed for a large amount of the carbon dioxide humans release into the atmosphere. Just reusing the aggregate from old concrete is unsustainable, because it is the production of new cement that is driving climate change emissions. Therefore, a new environmentally friendly approach is needed to help promote the circular economy of concrete. The researchers optimized their new method by adjusting the mixture proportion, pressure, temperature, pressing duration, and water content. Finding the right proportion of concrete and recycled wood was critical to obtaining concrete with the most strength. Wood gets its rigidity from lignin, which is composed of highly cross-linked organic polymers. In this case, lignin fills the gaps in the concrete and functions as an adhesive when mixed with waste concrete powder and heated. The strength was also improved by higher temperatures and pressures during pressing. Most of the recycled products the researchers made exhibited better bending strength than that of ordinary concrete. Australian researchers have developed an ultra-thin and ultra-flexible electronic material for the touchscreens of the future, which could be printed and rolled out like newspaper. This touch-responsive technology, recently explained in the journal Nature Electronics, is 100 times thinner than existing touchscreen materials and so pliable it can be rolled up like a tube. To create the new conductive sheet, researchers used a thin film common in cell phone touchscreens and shrunk it from 3D to 2D using liquid metal chemistry. The nano-thin sheets are readily compatible with existing electronic technologies and, because of their incredible flexibility, could potentially be manufactured through roll-to-roll processing just like a newspaper. Today's cell phone touchscreens are mostly made of a transparent material, indium tin oxide, that is very conductive but also very brittle. The researchers created a new version that's supremely thin and flexible. You can bend it, you can twist it, and you can make it far more cheaply and efficiently than the slow and expensive way that we currently manufacture touchscreens. And turning it two-dimensional also makes it more transparent, so it lets through more light and saves energy. The research, published in Nature Electronics, shows it's possible to create printable electronics cheaply by using ingredients you could buy from a hardware store and printing it onto plastics to make the touchscreens of the future. The material could also be used in many other optoelectronic applications, such as LEDs and touch displays, as well as in future smart windows. The research team has already used the new material to create a working touchscreen as a proof of concept, and they've applied for a patent for the technology.
This concludes this edition of Business Briefings. Please join us again next month for more exciting news and insights from the latest business magazines, technology journals, blogs, newsletters, and websites.